Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Orange County Library System, offering enriching programs and resources for seniors at 15 locations throughout the county, with hands-on workshops, expert-led seminars, and more. A complete list of programs is available at ocls.org/senior/events.
The cost of back to school and the conversation about budget. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. New Owala cup, check. New backpack, secured. New pair of designer sneakers, costly, but okay. A new Mac laptop. Wait, what are you asking for? It's the time of year when families are out tackling those back-to-school checklists, and for many, checking off everything is getting harder.
Some of the school supplies, like pre-K, I have to get a sleeping mat. I can't find an affordable one. I have to get shoes and clothes. Prices are going up on those, so it's kind of hard.
Back-to-school shopping can lead to tough conversations with kids about household finances. We hear from a Central Florida nonprofit that teaches financial literacy on how to navigate these conversations. That's ahead on The Wrap. The big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. Orange County Public School students won't be able to ride their e-bikes or e-scooters to school this year unless they're in high school and have a driver's license or permit. Central Florida Public Media's education reporter Kayla Kissel has this report on the school board vote this week.
For younger students, the district is pumping the brakes on the electronic commute. E-bikes and e-scooters are completely banned at elementary and middle schools. The shift comes as more students turn to e-bikes and e-scooters to get around. A survey sent out to OCPS principals reported about 11,800 students used the devices to get to and from school last year. Board members say they were alarmed at students riding in large groups and skipping helmets to weaving through or riding against traffic. Safety concerns were heightened after a 13-year-old boy died in an off-campus e-scooter crash in May. Ashley LaChance, the boy's mother, spoke to the school board members Tuesday in a video urging them to pass the ban.
I understand the convenience. I lived it. But I also live with the unimaginable reality of what can happen.
Other community members say it's taking away a ride for students who live within 2 miles of school and can't ride the bus. Nate Clark says his four children ride e-scooters to and from three different schools, each with a different start time and all within a mile of their Baldwin Park home.
So if this passes tonight, I don't know how they get into school on August 11th.
Board members say the policy could change once Orange County finalizes its own e-bike and e-scooter regulations. Kayla Kissel, Central Florida Public Media.
A court case in Tallahassee will determine what Florida voters see on their November ballots. WUSF's Douglas Soule reports a proposed constitutional amendment to lower property taxes is facing challenges.
A Tallahassee judge heard arguments on Wednesday and will rule soon on whether new summary language is needed. Jeff Brandis is one of those suing. He's a former Republican state lawmaker who since started a policy think tank. He says the amendment title alone is too biased.
This is like a medical commercial where it talks only about the benefits, but doesn't tell you that if this is going to last a lot longer than 4 hours, that it's going to last generations.
He says parts of the summary are false, like where it says it ensures funding for local core services. The language in the Constitution would actually say property taxes can only be spent on core services. But if property taxes are lowered, local governments could have less money to fund them. The state says the wording is accurate and meets the legal standard. I'm Douglas Soule in Tallahassee.
A new report finds the state is lagging on its enforcement of environmental protections, even as 52% of Florida waterways fail to meet water quality standards. Central Florida Public Media's environment reporter Molly Durick has more on the report released by Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, or PEER, and Waterkeepers Florida.
The report's water quality data comes straight from the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. And PEER's analysis of environmental enforcement finds, while enforcement actions have been ticking up slightly in the past few years, they're still sitting near historic lows. A sharp decline in enforcement began in 2011, once former Governor Rick Scott took office. Lisa Reinemann is with St. John's Riverkeeper, a member of Waterkeepers Florida.
This just demonstrates that those protections that have been in place, they're too lax. They don't go far enough. And then if you're not enforcing it, then it's really not as good as the paper it's written on.
In its latest comprehensive water quality assessment released earlier this year, FDEP acknowledges nutrient enrichment of the state's waterways is, quote, a persistent statewide challenge. The agency was asked to, but did not weigh in on the report's findings before airtime. Molly Durig, Central Florida Public Media.
These stories and more, visit our website, visit cfpublic.org. As NASA races to land humans on the moon for the first time in more than half a century, those astronauts are going to need a new spacesuit.
Ultimately, the suit we have today is kind of a revolutionary new spacesuit.
How one private company is designing that new suit with function and style in mind. That's this week on Are We There Yet? Get it where you get this podcast. It's the time of year when families are out tackling those back-to-school checklists. For many, checking everything off is getting harder. For some families, they've had to dial it back or cut costs elsewhere in the family budget. In that case, school shopping can lead to tough conversation with kids about household finances. Central Florida Public Media's Sharon Stone spoke with Lachey Reeves, executive director of 8 Cents in a Jar, a Central Florida nonprofit that teaches financial literacy, about how to navigate these conversations. And lessons learned during the back-to-school shopping season can last much longer than the supplies they bring home.
When you think about the conversations with money and kids, regardless if parents or adults realize it or not, they are having conversations with their kids about money. So if they actively choose to talk about money, then the students are able to see how their parents, you know, talk about money and see it into action. Even if they do not have a conversation about money, they're still teaching their kids about money. And that could be, well, hey, we never talked about, you know, how to pay bills. So paying bills are not important. Or we never know how much items cost. So it doesn't have a cost value to it at all. So one of the things that we do educate with our parents at 8 Cents in a Jar, have those conversations about money. However, depending upon the age and, you know, the material, then it does determine the conversation. So when we talk about money with our kids, we don't want to pass those burdens on to the students, but we do want to make sure that they are informed. So from their perspective, they can weigh in on decisions. So for example, it's back to school season. And we know students, they get really excited about back to school. They want to pick out their favorite backpack, you know, bring in their characters, you know, when it comes to lunches. So, you know, a conversation, you know, shouldn't be about like, hey, we don't have money for these things, because now we're passing on financial stress and financial trauma. And that's something that we don't want. However, it can be a game, or it can be a conversation where, you know, we have $100 devoted for, you know, your back to school supplies. Let's go ahead and create your top 10 list of things that you want, or things that are important to you in your learning journey. So even in that example, by making it relatable to the students, we're now giving them cost benefit analysis. We're now giving them the opportunity to weigh in on decisions, but then still allowing their innocence of a child to be there, while at the same time avoiding putting that financial stress or trauma of, hey, we don't have this, we don't have enough money, you know, we have to choose between food or supplies, where that still may be true. However, we're removing the stress and the trauma associated with that, but still bringing in the learning aspect while understanding decision-making and scarcity.
How can parents teach kids how to deal with the kinds of financial pressures that they might face from their peers, like wearing the right clothes, having the right kind of iPhone electronics? How do they talk about those realities?
That is the major reality for our students today. So especially as students are engaged or introduced into social media at an early age, students now have a dilemma that most parents and grandparents didn't have. So that's comparison. So comparison beyond the neighborhood, comparison beyond what's in the school, but now comparison against the world. And that's something serious. So one of the things that we do teach our parents at 8 Cents in a Jar and our grandparents is we can't avoid that. So we know that the depth of comparison will come. However, let's now give students an opportunity to just understand the trade-off of it all. So we can give you this iPhone. You can have this iPhone, and this iPhone costs $1,500. yes, you know, talk to the students about, you know, how much things cost, but then also show them, okay, if we, you know, have an opportunity to give you this latest gadget, then how can that impact, you know, the opportunity for you to plan a birthday trip? So, you know, give them the option. So one of the things that we say is we'd rather the students to embrace the experience versus the physical object. And so just having the students to just even understand, like, okay, think about your last four back to school shopping journeys. Do you still wear those clothes from 2 years ago? Nope. Okay, why not? Well, it's out of style or I may outgrow it. Okay. So let's now talk about the experience that you created when it came to school. It could have been this field trip for this or that. Okay, so let's talk about it. So maybe instead of having seven outfits, let's see how we can, you know, create five outfits, but then piece them together. So now that we have money for field trips. So it goes back into just still having trade-offs where it's not just a lecture, but having the students also be a part of the equation, express their ideas and be a part of the solutions. That way it can stick more and it resonate more. And once you have those real life examples, then if you want, you can go into, okay, hey, we just talked about budgeting. Or, you know, we just created a spending plan and, you know, this is our pool of money. Now let's figure out, you know, how to maximize our resources that benefits our experiences.
What kind of questions do you hear from families right now in back to school season? Or what are some of the issues that you bring up with families?
So some of the issues that we hear from our parents and then that we bring up as well is let's not make the economy the enemy. Where, oh, inflation is so bad or gas prices are so bad, is, you know, everything is horrible. Because as we know, the economy, the environment will change. The students will always have that negative connotation around that, right? So we want to make sure that we do express to parents, let's try as much as possible to avoid the negative thing. You know, oh, we're wasting money. We're throwing away money. So how can it be, you know, something more meaningful? And then also going back to trade-off. So is it something that we want right now? Or is it something that we can have an opportunity to experience later? So I would definitely say that. So just, you know, how we position the economy, how we position money. We don't want it to, you know, see it as an evil, but as a tool. So I would say that will be one. The second is, cannot stress this enough, is, you know, for most parents and adults, we assume that students are so young and they will not understand what we're talking about. So since we know that they will not understand, we don't need to have that conversation with them. And that's incorrect. So when it comes to students' relationship with money, it starts forming as early as 5 years old. So that's why we want our parents and our adults to actively have those conversations, because regardless if we have it or not, our kids are watching us and they're forming their own patterns, their behaviors, and their relationships with money. And we don't want it to be a toxic relationship, because then we're going to spend the next 20 years from elementary to adulthood trying to rewrite those toxic traits, right? Look at some of our relationships. So with that, you know, not having that toxic trait or connotation as it relates to money. And then I would definitely say third, bring in parables, you know, storytelling, an opportunity to include the students in the decision. Now, we're not saying, you know, hey, if you have a choice between rent and the water, you know, include the students into that. But what we are saying, you know, with some of the smaller decisions, whether it be, okay, you know, previously families may have had $200 a month to spend on groceries. Now we have $160. That is a $40 difference, where we don't want to say, oh, like we're losing money, we can't afford this. But okay, this is what we do have. Now let's come together and create a spending plan to create a meal for us that we all enjoy. And then have an opportunity to put a cost to certain things. So, you know, it may be cheaper for us to have broccoli. So how can we incorporate broccoli 5 times throughout the week instead of 3, where, you know, it still does the same objectives. So I would say those are the 3 things that we do try to inform our parents on, so then they can incorporate those conversations into their family wealth chats.
That was Lachey Reeves, executive director of 8 Cents in a Jar in Apopka, speaking with Sharon Stone. Hear more about the financial challenges of back to school shopping on Engage. Get it where you get this podcast. That's it for The Wrap this week, but next week, our series, Central Florida Seen and Heard, Vote Your Budget, is out. Better understand how the choices made at the ballot box can show up around your kitchen table. Stay listening. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brendan Byrne. This is The Wrap.